I call this offering transformation. By 1987, I had developed the theory that at least some people who receive a diagnosis of cancer and survive owe their aliveness to their own self-transformation. This particular belief had developed as a result of two experiences. From 1974 to 1977, I attended weekly astrology classes, taught by a well-respected professional astrologer in New York City. For the first 6 months, our class focused on the basics. After that, what was left of the beginner's class was fed into a second class, which included only serious astrology students, many of them themselves professional astrologers. Classes now progressed to chart interpretation exclusively. That is, members of the group would arrive at class with photocopies of somebody's chart. We would each receive a copy of the chart, and then the table would offer interpretations, which our teacher would either correct or endorse, providing commentary and instruction. Inevitably, she wowed us with her insights, including the person who had brought in the chart, and knew the individual whose chart we were looking at. Our teacher also brought in charts for us to work on, always directing our attention to parts of the chart of particular interest. Frequently, the chart was that of a famous person, which was always fun. One of my classmates found out about an all-day meeting to be held in New York City by a major astrology organization, the American Council for Geocosmic Research. I decided to attend. The day was filled with a wide menu of delicacies. Hour-long presentations at every level of expertise about all sorts of topics. Between meetings, attendees would gather in the hallways, chatting in groups. It was in such a group where I met fellow students who had come in from New Jersey. Their whole astrology class was attending the conference. One of the girls in our clutch was talking about the eighth house. She was describing an evening their teacher had brought in a chart for the class to consider. The eighth house figured greatly into the particular year of the life of the person whose chart was under scrutiny. Everyone at the table considered the chart for some time. In the end, there was agreement. During that eighth house year of the life of this person, he had died. The eighth house. It is commonly referred to as the house of death, sex, and regeneration. It is the house of rebirth, transformation. It is the house of conception. Children are conceived in the eighth house of the parents' chart, and so on. The class was convinced. This guy died during that astrological year. The big transformation. From the physical plane to the next plane. Dead. The guy was dead as a doornail. They looked to the teacher expectantly. The teacher lectured. You have been examining the chart of Peter Hurkos for the year during which he fell from a ladder hitting his head. After the fall, Hurkos went from being normal to so psychic as to become known for his psychic ability worldwide. she went on. I have given you this chart so that you never forget the true nature of the eighth house. It is a house of transformation, and you can never predict with certainty the nature of the transformation it will bring. Death, from an astrological standpoint, needs to be considered within the larger context of the issue of transformation, was the teacher's point. The eighth house is a house of transformation. One kind of transformation is that of death, the leaving of the physical body and moving on to be reborn into the next plane of existence. But there are lots of ways to transform oneself, was her point, or to be transformed. I never forgot the anecdote. That was 1976. In 1983, I was a guest at a dinner party. The hostess, with whom I had just met, was gracious and capable. She was also an open and generous human being. During dinner, this woman mentioned that a few years before, her brother, who was then in his late teens, had had cancer. It was treated. He was okay for a while, and then they found out the cancer had come back. He received treatment a second time. He had been fine since. Several years had passed since the recurrence. After dinner, I asked our hostess if she might tell me more about the course of her brother's illness. We were in the living room when she described her brother's situation in more detail. I asked my hostess if there had been any changes in her brother's life after the second course of treatment. Oh, yes, she replied. The young man's life, in his late teens, had been aimless. There had been little, if any, direction, no real plans for the future. Also, her brother had been using drugs. The cancer was initially found. He received treatment and went into remission. Then he returned to his aimless, drugged-up life. Recurrent cancer was discovered. Her brother received treatment. While he was under treatment this time, thanks to the intervention of one of his doctors, he took some time to consider how he had been living. He gave his life some thought. After treatment was finished, her brother enrolled in a university. He took his studies seriously. He had decided to become but it was something normal and useful and helpful. It was also something in which he was interested and to which he had come to devote himself. He had completely turned his life around, my hostess explained. He had also been off drugs since the recurrence. I found her report completely consistent with the eighth house transformation idea. To me, it sounded like her brother had clarified the fix in which he had somehow found himself and had decided to choose a different course in life, one more affirming of himself and life. He had decided to transform himself and stay on this, the physical plane. That was my theory. Cancer, a life-threatening disease, presents the person with a decision point, I reasoned. At the time of diagnosis, life asks a question. Where do you want to continue to exist? Do you want to continue your existence here, on the physical plane? Or would you prefer to continue your existence on the next plane? Either way, you will change. You will transform. That is the nature of the eighth house experience, and you are being faced with an eighth house issue. This is the way I put it together. Now, I must add here that I do believe that there are instances in which, when one's time has come, one's time has come. I also believe there are occasions in which, no matter what we do, we will not die until it is our time. I remember the anecdote told to me about an elderly grandmother. It's a real story. A woman had been widowed for a long time. She had not been really happy since her husband's death. And while she occupied herself, she had not truly found a place for herself in her life after her husband's passing. She was visiting the home of her daughter, who had children, whom she loved and with whom she enjoyed spending time. While visiting one night, she had a dream, which she reported to her daughter the next day. In the dream, she, the grandmother, was dying. She was on her deathbed. An angel appeared. The grandmother was delighted. "You're here to take me to heaven," she said. "You're here to take me to my husband." The angel quieted the woman and gently told her, "No, that was not why she had come." The woman, though ill in the dream, was not to die. "It is not your time," the angel said. "You have more to do here first. Then you will go." And the angel disappeared. When she awoke, the woman was greatly disappointed. She so much wanted to rejoin her husband, but she was also more accepting of her fate. She was destined to live right now. She had no notion what it was she was supposed to do, only that somehow she would do it. She felt sure of this. When the story was told to me, sometime after the incident, the grandmother was still very much alive and well. My hunch is that when it's time for us to move on to the next plane, and it's been written in the book or whatever it is that such information is logged, we go. I do not believe that we stay alive beyond our time. But I also believe that during the course of our lives, we are presented with choice points. And some of these points present us with an option to die, to leave the earth plane, or not. If we want to go, we can. But we don't, at these points, have to go. It's up to us. But we can't stay the same. If we want to stay on the earth plane, we will have to change in some important and thoroughgoing way. Whatever the change consists of may be of such a nature as to be quite undetectable to the outside observer. The change may not be externally obvious, it may be subtle. But I think the change will have occurred, or we're going to the next plane, if that is our fate. This is my belief. And this is what I believed when they found the cancer in me. It was one of the guiding principles which underlay the decisions I made about how I would live my life ever after. One man's meat is another man's poison, the saying goes. What is wonderful for me may drive you to utter distraction. The changes we make, the changes we need to make, are unique to us, deeply personal. Researchers who specialize in mind-body issues report this finding. What is meaningful or right to this particular human being at this special point in the life does not lend itself to a cookie cutter. It is homegrown. Do it yourself. I also believe that the changes we make have to do with our honoring our integrity, our dignity, our value, our fundamental worth on this planet. The special me, that's me-ness of who we are. I believe that it is necessary for us to be certain that we have a lifestyle and habits and structures that support this me-ness, that nurture this me-ness. I believe that if our current lifestyle and habits and structures don't support and nurture us, then a new lifestyle and habits and structures will need to be developed. For me, the job has had a somewhat top-to-bottom aspect to it, a complete renovation job. It has not been easy, and it is still not easy. I was not raised to be so self-centered, so self-indulgent, so highfalutin, thinking I'm so important as to deserve such attention from anybody, including myself. I am embarrassed by my own behavior toward myself at times. Who do I think I am? Somebody special? But I stick with the attention I provide to myself. I believe it is keeping me alive. But now, let's turn our attention to you. Just receiving a diagnosis of cancer frequently changes a person. How have you already changed since you were diagnosed? Do these changes support you? Are they good for you? What would be a new life-affirming action for you to take regarding yourself and your life going forward? What new action can you perform that would support your own me-ness?